Welcome to It's Personal, Finance Canada. I'm Christine Conway.
And I'm Cameron Conway.
And this podcast is a very personal look at personal finance in Canada. Welcome to It's Personal, Finance Canada. I'm Christine Conway, here with Cameron Conway. And today we're going to talk about the battle between stress, time, and finances.
That's right. It's winner takes all. Who will win? Will it be the unbearable amount of time that you don't have to get things done? Will it be the stress that you get because you can't get things done? Or will your finances come out on top, even though you have no more time or energy to use them?
Well, and that is the crux of the battle that we're facing. Our society has created this environment where people are chronically overstressed, and it's taking a toll on our health. Not just our physical health, there's our mental health, there's our capacity to push ourselves any further. Most of us feel like we're kind of already at that red line where there's nothing else to give, but there's so many more demands that we still haven't gotten to because there's just no more time. So how do we win this battle?
Step one, you buy a whole case of energy drink, and you drink about five of them within about 4 or 5 minutes. Then you got plenty of time to get everything you need done in a day.
That sounds like a terribly unhealthy and not very sustainable option.
No one mentioned anything about healthy and sustainable here.
We do not recommend the consumption of many energy drinks all at once. Okay, let's get back to the actual thing that we wanted to talk about today. So, like I said, there's kind of no escape anymore. Used to be you would do your job at the end of the day, you'd shut down your computer, you'd leave your office, you'd go home, and no one would bother you until you clocked in again, whether that was the next day or on Monday. But today it's inescapable. It's on your phone. Your emails are kind of pinging you. If you don't respond, they're texting you. If you're not responding, they're calling you. And there's always, it seems, someone needing something from you. So in a society that's more connected than ever before, there's a higher level of demands that are leaving all of us feeling like we're stressed out and we're at our limit. And again, feeling like there's no time for anything meaningful in our lives. And the reason we bring this up is because I think it has a deep impact on not only our happiness level and even our feelings of loneliness or acceptability in our community, because even though we're in constant contact, we're more detached than we've ever been before. But I think it's also affecting people on a mental health level and leaving people in a place where they're looking for a quick fix. And I mean, we've talked about things like shopping addiction and things like that before, where people need that quick hit of, I feel good for just a brief minute. It's going to give me that 30 seconds of release to kind of feel not so bad, or I can maybe forget temporarily for a few minutes that I've got all of these other things piled up behind me. But I think our culture as we have it today is actually creating part of the problem, or maybe not. I mean, society as itself is what it is, but our acceptance and our buy-in of this need to always be present, this need to always be available to everyone, can lead us to be more open to addiction. And I mean, I'm not talking about chugging back the whole 2-4 kind of thing at the end of the day, which again, we don't recommend, but I'm talking about even things as easy as you go online and you buy a new dress because you had a bad day. And it's becoming these ingrained habits that are forming in our lives, and we're finding that we need those actions repeated more and more often, because once you start repeating something, studies have shown you don't get that initial big hit of the dopamine. It kind of reduces over time as the pattern becomes more formed in your brain. So essentially, you have to do more and more to kind of keep up. So all this negativity, it can take a toll on your finances. Not just your finances, it can take a toll on your ability to feel like you're doing something meaningful in your life. And as we're going to talk about today, I think that's even the more important key here, because if we can drive back down to meaning, drive back down to purposeful, intentional goals and things that we feel good about, that we can give our best time and our best energy to, that reduces the burden of some of these other things that are weighing us down, and that can provide some of the satisfaction that maybe we're not getting in our current life in the way that it's structured.
Well, I had to cover all this, so this isn't just sort of our opinion. We're kind of basing some of our talk today off of a book I read a couple months ago, Christine just read a couple days ago, called At Your Best by Carrie Newhoff. So we kind of want to break down some of the things in there, some of the things we've come across to try and help you. Well, part is manage your time better, kind of figure out ways to go about your day in your life with a bit less cataclysmic amounts of stress, and then how all of that can kind of help you with your finances. Well, in this case, it'd be finances as in your income and your employment, but then that all kind of ties together anyway. So let's kind of start digging into all this.
That's right. We're going to spend some time talking today about usage of time. And I think on the positive side, like you were trying to say, that can lead to spending better amounts of time or more focused on energy, on activities that will help you get promoted, help you earn more money, or create just something that you feel is of value, whether that's within or without of your traditional employment structure. So let's kind of jump into it. I would like to say, this is something I heard in another book years and years and years ago, but I believe this concept absolutely with the core of my being, that we are at our absolute core goal-seeking organisms. And this is why we feel lost and we feel aimless and we feel helpless and even powerless when we're not working towards something that we feel is meaningful or feel that has some sense of impact or some sense of purpose. That's why you see people at their 9-to-5s just kind of totally checked out. They're there, they're a body in the chair, they're typing on their computers, they're answering the phone, but there's nothing else there. There's nothing motivating them other than the paycheck. And let's be very honest, when you have so many demands, the paycheck is not all that motivating because essentially it's survival mode. You're just clocking in enough to pay the bills, but nothing beyond that is really happening in your life.
Yeah. So the author of the book we're talking about, I heard his podcast a couple of weeks ago, just kind of say bluntly that no one wants to work for him. Not in that he's a bad boss, but people would rather be spending their time doing things that they want or running their own business or doing their own dreams or things. And that this is what affects a lot of people in their day-to-day jobs. They are there for their paycheck. And hopefully you're one of the few that actually do something that you actually enjoy to do on a daily basis. But even then, the grind can slowly wear down the enjoyment you once felt.
Well, that's right. And I mean, I know someone personally that had some issues with depression throughout her life. And I know that one of the big impacts on that is she used to say to me all the time, well, you know what, Christine, I never know what I want to be when I grow up. And she was older than me at the time when she was saying that. And it was just this overall defining lack of purpose where even when she did find a job, maybe she'd stay employed for a short period of time, but ultimately she would have trouble holding the job just because she couldn't latch on to anything that she felt had meaningful value. And I think it was reflected in her performance and compounded by the depression. And of course, there's a whole other side to that as well. But I think ultimately, just that kind of not knowing and not finding anything more meaningful was a big contributing factor in her inability to essentially find something and run with it and create something of value, even in a situation that maybe would not otherwise be ideal.
Well, and for some people too, you won't find that at your 9-to-5 job, because I had many jobs where I did not find any kind of satisfaction or fulfillment, but I did in my kind of after work activities or things I was doing on the weekends or the evenings. So sometimes you have to find it in different places other than just where you're going to get your income. But a lot of it comes down to that kind of sense of purpose, that sense of having a goal of something enjoyable to work towards. And that could be a big motivating factor beyond kind of just cracking the whip and clocking in at 9 a.m.
That's right. So, I mean, ultimately, it's coming to the discussion of how do we actually build a life that we want? How do we build a life that leaves us feeling satisfied so that we're not left without purpose, that we're not left struggling emotionally or feeling isolated or finding ourselves more susceptible to addictions or things that will otherwise give us a quick fix to a longer term, more chronic problem? So the author in the book that we were reading essentially was suggesting that the beginning of this solution is understanding how to use our time better. So I'd like to open with a quote on that, and we'll get into a little bit more detail about what that means. And of course, this isn't a be-all, end-all, quick fix. There's no magic bullet or one-time, one-step solution. But essentially, what today is supposed to do is to give you another tool in your toolkit to help you be more productive, help you be more efficient, and help you be more open to using the best of your time in a way that helps create meaningful value for yourself in your own life, so that it can help you overcome all of these other external factors that we're all fighting with on an ongoing basis. So I quote, Claire Diaz-Ortiz, who worked at Twitter in the startup years, made a similar observation. Even the most brilliant Silicon Valley engineers have about 3 highly creative and highly productive hours in them daily. Cal Newport, author of Deep Work, researched this quite extensively and argued that our capacity for intense, focused work comes in around 4 hours a day. End quote. So the author in the book was essentially concluding that most people have about 3 to 5 hours of deeply productive work in them in a day when their energy is at its peak. So we want to talk to you a little bit about energy usage and to understand and to kind of map out how your own energy ebbs and flows throughout the day so that you can make a deliberate decision to assign the highest value time that you have, where you're the most deeply productive and the most alert, the most focused, in your best space, to the things that are most meaningful or the things that will get you what you need in life to move further. So maybe that's focusing on activities that will get you that next promotion, or on that side hustle that'll get more money in your pocket that can start alleviating some of these other pressures that are focused on you externally.
Well, a lot of this is also going to come down to you beginning to understand kind of when these peaks and valleys happen consistently throughout the day as you kind of go day by day, and just kind of taking the initiative to kind of rebalance your schedule to try and make it work better to your strengths. So sometimes you'll have to kind of stand up for yourself and say, no, I'm going to do it between this hour and this hour, or I'm going to reschedule how I've been doing things normally so I can be more productive here. Because you don't want to waste your best hours doing the most meaningless work you have to do on a daily basis.
Well, that's it. And I mean, these days, everything feels like an emergency. Like I said, you've got your phone binging, you've got your email binging, you've got people calling you, texting you constantly. Not everything is an emergency. And people have a way of trying to nudge themselves up to the top of your priority list, even if that's not something that's necessarily high value or high meaning to you personally.
Yeah, everyone's special and everyone's the star of their own show, and they think they're the most important thing that you need to deal with that day. And the reality is often they may not. Sometimes they are, but it's kind of getting that backbone and getting that discipline in place to make sure that you are using your time properly. Otherwise, you're just going to drive yourself crazy doing the most important things when you're burnt out.
Well, and this is the problem that I think leads to this whole cycle of feeling overworked and feeling overwhelmed and feeling like you can never really catch up. Essentially, the most important things in your day are the hardest things in a lot of the cases. They're the things that require the most focus or the most intense expenditure of energy. And they're not something that you can kind of just slough off in 2 seconds as a quick email or something along those lines. So those are the things that chronically get put to the bottom of your list and that chronically get left for tomorrow. And I'll share a bit of a personal story here. Years and years ago, my boss said to me, Christine, we love you. I'm paraphrasing here. Maybe I just wanted to say that part. But he basically said, we love you, but your time management skills are absolutely terrible. You need to improve in this area. So at the time, he made me take a time management course, and I began the ever popular Make a List project, where every day at the end of the day, I would assess what my next day was going to look like, and I'd write a big long list of all of the things that I had to accomplish tomorrow.
Can I guess what was at the top of the list?
What was at the top of my list?
make a list?
Oh my goodness. It was at the bottom of the list so that I would do it at the end of every day. Haha. Anyways, so my list was way too long. It was literally a page, two pages, like it just never stopped. So what I found was happening to me is I would get in the morning and right in the middle of my otherwise clean desk, staring right at me was this big, long pages and pages list that would never ever get accomplished, couldn't humanly possibly get accomplished in a day. And all that it really served to do was make me feel more overwhelmed. And my human nature response to this list that was supposed to be helping me was that I wanted to focus on getting the easiest things off the list because the big hard things and the easy things were both equally one item on the list. So I would just get that quick satisfaction of checking off the easy thing really, really fast. And I would feel like I made progress. Wow, look, I clicked off 5 things in 5 minutes. I must be doing great. But what I found after doing this for a few months was that the big things that actually mattered, so things that moved the needle for my boss, for our organization, were chronically left at the bottom of my list. Like I said, I kept telling myself, I'll do this tomorrow. And I came to believe that this is the biggest lie that you can tell yourself in business. I'll handle it tomorrow, because let's be honest, tomorrow is just today. It's the same thing. It just hasn't come yet. And I started to firmly believe tomorrow never comes. And I don't mean that in a super dark kind of manner, but what I mean is that when you put off something for tomorrow, today, you give yourself that permission to engage in that activity again tomorrow and put it off again tomorrow. And then you find yourself down the road fighting the same battle, and your mind gets a sense of satisfaction of, oh, well, I can defer this off of my list. It's off of my list, quote unquote. Now it's something that I can do tomorrow. And you actually feel a sense of satisfaction from that. But it doesn't materially help you. It doesn't move you towards any of the things that will help you in your career or in your finances, or that will create something productive or innovative or of actual value. Because like I said, those are the tasks that are hard. Those are the tasks that require all of you to get going.
You have to kind of contrast this. So Christine had her big long list and just kind of checking off the easy things first, which is the temptation. So years ago, I was a kind of courier delivery driver, kind of doing like commercial to commercial, industrial to industrial. And with me, my list of to-dos, they are all the same as in go to this place, go to that place. But at the same time, there were people on that list where they were like a $500 a month client. And then there's the ones that were a $5,000 a month client. So when you have to look at it from that perspective, it's a lot easier to decide how you want to allocate your time. Between this time, so like between 9 and 11, I have to get to this place, which is a high client because I have to get beat traffic. But it's just figuring out how to prioritize in a realistic way rather than just kind of checking out the easy stuff. Like I could have done all the stuff closest to my source as I could. I'd have a whole bunch of really short routes, but then I'd miss a delivery for one of their highest clients. So it's just learning how to kind of prioritize and using your time right, which we're going to get into how Carrie Newhoff kind of breaks this down into three different categories.
Right. And I will just quickly wrap up how I solved my personal list dilemma. It was in another book that I had read. Actually, I've seen it in a few places, so I don't want to source it incorrectly. So all that I'll say, the concept is basically this. Every day, at the end of the day, I write down 3 things. No more than 3 things. You can do less, but you can't do more. And if I do nothing else in that day but accomplish those 3 things, they will meaningfully move things forward for me. So then my battle of the day is, how do I navigate through all the distractions, all of the people clamoring for my attention, all of the emails, all of the phone calls, and stay focused on those 3 things? And you list them in priority. So if I only get to number 1, that was the most important thing to do that day, and I've accomplished something. If I get to number 2, I've had a pretty good day. And if I get to number 3, I've done an amazing job that day.
Okay, so if I was paying attention, number 3 is make list, right?
That was in the old list system. So this way, it's actually a much more condensed focused process, so I'm not listing every single activity that I need to engage in. I'm only listing the activities that will move the needle for me or move the needle for my boss when I was employed, or that would essentially drive value for my organization so that I could then say, look at what I've done for you, look at what I've accomplished at performance review time, and be in a very good position to ask for additional money.
So after going through all that, so let's actually get to the meat and potatoes of Carrie Newhoff's book, All the Best. So here he kind of uses a three-color kind of like traffic light scheme to help you determine how to best use your time on a daily basis. So we kind of have the traditional red, yellow, and green. So let's start with the easy one. Let's talk about the green zone.
Green means go. Oh, wait, no, I'm watching too many Paw Patrol episodes. Okay. Green, as you would guess, is you're highly creative, you're alert, you're at your best, you're productive, you're accurate. This is all the good stuff. And remember, the author suggests, and he sources other folks that have also said, you have about 3 to 5 creative top of energy hours in your day. So the whole concept here is to focus on the things that are meaningful for you during that time. So if it's in your control, or if it's not, find a way to talk to your boss, your HR, whoever can help you make this a reality. Or you can say to your boss, I want to do my best for your organization, so I need to be able to block off this period of time. And like we'd suggested, the author suggests that you can essentially set a clock to your energy cycles. If you pay attention to them for a long enough period of time, you can kind of see, maybe I'm a morning person and my best time comes between 10 and 12 in the morning. So I want to be focused on my high value clients. I want to be focused on the things that are going to be generating new business, that are going to be productive, that are going to be high value for my business at that period of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to block off that period and I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm not going to take calls. And I mean, when I started trying to do this, this was very, very hard because I've built a business around always being available for people. So it's a very, very different strategic focus where you have to essentially give yourself permission to say no so that you can provide better value to the people that are paying you the most money. Or like I said, if you work for another organization, you can go to your boss and say, tell me what is the top thing that I can do for your organization in this quarter, and set some goals or some initiatives with your boss. And then just say, okay, boss, to accomplish this effectively, I need to be able to block off between 10 and noon every day without any interruptions, without any external distractions, because that's when I feel I'll be able to best work on this project for you, give you my best results. Now, of course, bosses may not always understand. They'll be like, why aren't you at your best 24/7? Why aren't you at your best for 40 hours a week? But I think the new economy is coming to the understanding that I think people are less looking for someone to sit on a seat and warm a chair and just be present as they are looking for tangible results. I know I certainly am as an employer now. I have less concern about when you're at your desk and more concern about what you produce when you're working for me, kind of thing. But I think that other bosses or people that answer to other people essentially are going to be of a similar mindset where if you're creating value that moves the needle for them, where they can then go to their superiors and say, wow, well, good job, boss. You really managed that guy. And all you've been doing is giving him your 2 best hours in the day. So in your green zone, find the activities that are most meaningful for you and learn to say no to absolutely everything else during that period of time. So I would say first, identify how long that period is for you. If it's the 3 hours, if it's the 5 hours, and it doesn't happen as a stretch for everyone. It could be broken up. Some's in the morning, some's in the afternoon. Most people's are. You might get 2 hours in the morning and 1 hour later on in the day. But essentially, during that period of time, the phone is on do not disturb. The email is off. Like, not even you can see the light pinging at you. You turn it off completely. And your focus is only on the activities that matter the most to you. or if this is something that you're doing personally for yourself, for your own business, or even if it's something that you're just doing for your hobbies and you want to focus that highly creative energy and time, I would say same thing. Make yourself totally inaccessible. Leave your cell phone in another room. Keep yourself away from everyone else and learn how to say no to the people that will try and kind of wiggle their way up your priority list. And you'll be in a better space to deal with them later when you're still in your yellow zone, because in that zone, you're still productive, you're still effective, you're still mostly accurate, but you're not maybe at your peak. So if we kind of go back to the color zones, the other two zones are, of course, yellow and red. Yellow being, yeah, you're doing pretty good. And red being, you're really low energy. You're maybe a little bit irritable, maybe a little bit hangry. But you're probably not going to want to be interacting with people or doing a lot of heavy lifting or things that require a lot of accuracy at this point in time.
Yeah, so the yellow zone is kind of, you're starting to slow down, you're still somewhat productive. And then red, it's, you are just kind of dragging your nails, trying to get things done the best you can. Like even, we'll use myself as an example. So kind of my three colors are, so from like 9 to 10 is yellow, from 10 till 1 is green, from 2 to 3 is yellow, and 3 on, it's just red. But I'm aware of that, so I block out my time accordingly. So like that first hour, I'm kind of doing my initial email intake, checking in with wholesalers or client stuff, and then 10 on is where I'm doing all my investment research and all my big projects. And then the kind of 2 to 3 yellow zone is anything at midnight I need to do, getting letters ready, doing more phone calls. And then 3 o'clock on is usually when I'm reading my market outlook emails, checking the news, and just making sure I got everything lined up for the next day. But I've gotten to the point where I'm aware of kind of those ups and downs and how I can get the most done in that 10 to 1 block, but still kind of get the more menial stuff done when I just don't have the energy to think straight.
Yeah, and if we try and go full circle here to the initial problem that we started with, where we're essentially saying society is creating this environment where you have to be ever present, I think that that's something that we have come to accept. Like we kind of wear stress as a badge of honor, but we've talked about all the negative impacts to your health when you get into that kind of stress spiral where you kind of lose control a little bit. But I think that this is a great way to counter it, because most people can miss you for an hour or two or three at a time. So if you're unavailable consistently every day, and you can say, I'm in a meeting. I'm in a meeting with the most important thing I have to do today. And if you can position it as, I am just not here right now. I'm not available to you. I'm not available to anyone that's going to knock on the door of my office, whether that's staff or anything else, that are going to say, can I have 5 minutes of your time? 5 minutes is never 5 minutes. 5 minutes can be an hour if left unchecked. So it's managing the interruptions. If we go full circle to our initial problem of feeling overwhelmed, of feeling like nothing is getting done, of feeling like there's too many demands, I think this one thing of structuring, even if you don't get into the yellow and red zones, or if you're just aware of them and aware of what you're doing during that time, if you can carve out even a portion of your green zone, even 1 hour every day where you're uninterrupted, and when you've got that quiet, I think that that alone takes you off the treadmill for that small little chunk of time. And it acts as a bit of a reset for everything else that's happening in your life. So essentially, all of the chronic rush, all of the chronic ill health, all of the chronic stuff that's coming at you, you're basically saying stop. You're basically saying, I'm going to put this on a pause for a minute. And I'm going to prioritize myself too, because I need that peace and I need to feel like I'm a productive member of society, like I'm doing well. And I mean, I'll say as a side note, in recent years personally, I know we talk about our Facebook page, and I mean that's important too, but on a personal level, I've kind of ducked out of social media in a pretty meaningful way over the last number of years, just because I don't want the constant interruptions. I mean, my actual friends that know me, that can text me, that can email me, that can reach out to me that way, know that that's my preferred method of contact. And that if I don't get back to them immediately, it's not a personal thing. It's just me managing my own health and me managing my own workflow and me managing my own ability to stay level in a very busy environment. And I think that that's ultimately what it comes down to. So the positive benefits for all of this are not only do you feel like you've created more value, or you've potentially lined yourself up for a better job, a better promotion, but you've also created an environment where you feel like you're doing something that matters.
Yeah. And when you create the environment like this, you starve out procrastination, because procrastination feeds off of your phone beeping, someone coming to talk to you, and you just don't get stuff done. And then once again, you kind of wasted the best part of your day to get things done. So when you kind of start to be diligent about this, you can really starve out procrastination in the best part of your day.
Yeah. And that's what your yellow zone is for, right? You're mostly there. You're mostly good. And you can say, I have an open door policy between 9 and 10 or whatever it might be, whatever that period of time is. So yes, come to me with your questions. Yes, I'll take all my calls that I can possibly handle. But that's a very good point where when you know you only have a limited time, you're going to be more focused because tasks have the ability to stretch themselves to the time that you have available, right? So when you give yourself a whole day endlessly, it can be very easy to accomplish nothing because this popped up, that popped up, this popped up, that popped up. But when you say, I have an hour to do this, that's it. And then I'm shutting it down for the day. That puts a different kind of pressure on you, not necessarily a negative pressure, but a pressure to be productive.
Yeah. And kind of calling back to my days as a courier, this is what I was talking about, where sometimes you can only satisfy the $500 client or you can satisfy the $5,000 client. And when you do things right, you take care of the big client. And if you are very diligent, you can take care of both of them without burning yourself out.
So all of this is essentially to help you get off the treadmill. Because once you're off the treadmill of fulfilling everyone else's demands and society's pressure, and almost that need to continually be stressed to wear it as a badge of honor, you can actually stop, relax, focus on yourself, focus on doing something meaningful, and find out that you're being less pulled towards the negative things that are causing you pain financially, emotionally, or otherwise in your life, like the need to spend some money just to get that quick satisfaction. So what we're trying to do is help you create a life that is fulfilling in and of itself enough by helping you identify something of value and giving yourself the time and the permission to work towards it, and also giving yourself the time and permission to say no to everything else. And I would say that if we were going to give you any takeaways today, I would leave it at that. I would essentially say, start by figuring out what in your life would be the most meaningful thing that you could work on. Is it a financial goal? Is it a job goal? Is it a side hustle or a personal goal? Is it in a hobby that has absolutely nothing to do with your career in any way, shape, or form? And the second thing I would say is start being aware of how your energy ebbs and flows throughout the day, because this is very real. This is not some kind of timey-wimey science thing. This actually happens for people every day.
Yeah, and you can't just keep chugging the coffee and energy drinks to force yourself into a green zone for 8 to 10 hours.
No, that would be incredibly unhealthy long-term. But once you're aware of those natural peaks and valleys, it's tailoring your activity to those zones and making sure that your green zone is full of the things that matter the most, where you'll be at your best, where you'll be most productive, and where you'll move yourself forward towards the things that you're interested in. And like we said, learn to say no for a short period of time. You can disappear for an hour a day, and no one will miss you if it's just an hour. So do yourself the favor. Do a little bit of internal searching. Try and find ways to step out of the rat race this week. Get off the hamster wheel and see how you can restructure your day in your own life to not only be more productive, but to help kind of counter some of these negative forces that come at us from outside of us every single day. So hopefully that helps you a little bit. We're happy to continue talking about things like productivity. I do think there is a very strong and deep fundamental tie to your personal finances here. We didn't talk about it a ton, but it's absolutely there, because how you are as a person, how you are emotionally, how healthy you are, that's going to have a huge impact on your spending.
Well, and the hope is if you can get this right, you'll be more productive at work. You can get a raise and you become a manager or what have you. But this is kind of help you with your career path if you want to use this stuff in your job.
So that's it for us for now. Come visit us on our Facebook page and I'll respond to you between 3 and 4 p.m. or probably later at night. But We're always happy to talk if you want to reach us to us at Braun Financial, braunfinancial.com. And until the next time, take care.
And all the green zone.
You can disappear for an hour a day. No one will miss you. Just make sure it's not while you're going on a long hike in the woods. And, no, okay. Okay, let's cut that.